Perhaps we could have a look at some verses in Genesis. I think it's 42. Just read a verse or two in chapter 41 to commence with. I'm thinking of Joseph this morning and a little word on Joseph. And verse 55 of chapter 41, "And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you do. The famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt, and all countries came into Egypt to Joseph to buy corn, because of the famine was so sore in all lands." And just a few verses in the next chapter. I think we know the setting quite well. We'll just read a few verses from verse 21. This is the occasion when Joseph's brethren had come down to Egypt to buy corn, and Joseph was accusing them of being spies. And he told them next time they came to bring their youngest brother with them. Verse 21, "And they said one to another, We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." And Reuben answered them, saying, "Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the lad, the child, and ye would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spoke unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. We might just leave Simeon for a few minutes and just consider a little bit about Joseph. And I believe that Joseph is the most outstanding type of Christ as seen in any man in all the scriptures. His name means to add or to increase, and of the Lord Jesus it is written that of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. He is the true increaser. When we come to the New Testament, there are two Josephs who are prominent in connection with the Lord Jesus. Our brother George read of one to us this morning, Joseph of Arimathea, but before that we have Joseph, the husband of Mary. One of these Josephs was connected with the Lord Jesus at his birth, and the other at his death. One was a poor man, as far as we understand, and the other was a rich man. He is described that way. Now, in between these two New Testament Josephs, we have the true Zaphnath-Paaneah. That was the name that Pharaoh gave to Joseph, which means the Saviour of the world. And in between these two Josephs, we have the Saviour of the world, the earthly life and sojourn of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the story of Joseph, it's interesting to note that there are five different houses connected with Joseph. And in each of these, Joseph rose to be the supreme. First of all, we have the father's house. We see Joseph in the father's house in chapter 37. Now, we don't have the expression there, the father's house, but we do have it further on. When Manasseh was born, Joseph's firstborn, Joseph called his name Manasseh, saying, God hath made me to forget all my toil and all my father's house. In that 37th chapter, we see Joseph in his father's house, the beloved of the father, the chief one there in the eyes of the father. These first four houses that Joseph was in would remind us of the four Gospels, but in the reverse order. What you see in chapter 37, Joseph in his father's house, would remind us of John's Gospel. Little did Jacob realise on that morning, we read of in 37, when he sent Joseph forth, that he was sending him forth to be the saviour of the world. But that's what we read in those verses in 41. Joseph was indeed, he became the saviour of the world. That's true of God the Father, isn't it? And it's John that tells us that in his epistle, first epistle, is it? That the Father sent the Son to be the saviour of the world. In that 37th chapter, we read how Joseph came unto his own, and his own received him not. We know the story quite well. Well, that's John's Gospel. The Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. The next house that we read of would remind us of Luke's Gospel. There we have Joseph in the house of Potiphar. Now it could be said truly of the Lord Jesus that he could not sin. We love to hear that said of him, but it can be said of Joseph that he did not sin. There he was, subject to temptation, but he didn't sin. We're reminded of the perfect manhood of the Lord Jesus. That's the house of Potiphar. The next house is the house of the prison. It is referred to in those terms. That would remind us of Mark's Gospel, the Gospel of the servant. Luke's Gospel, the Gospel of the perfect man. Mark's Gospel, the Gospel of the servant. And you remember how that into that prison were put two of the king's servants, the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers. And we read of Joseph, and he served them. He was a servant of servants. Such was his servants, such was his service, that you remember that morning when he came in and he noticed the sadness of their faces, and he was concerned about it, and he asked concerning it. So Joseph is seen as a type of the perfect servant. Coming to the next house, the house of Pharaoh. You remember Pharaoh's words to Joseph, "Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy people shall all, according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled." So Joseph, the ruler. And wouldn't that remind us of Matthew's Gospel? You remember when the wise men came, when the Lord Jesus was there as a young child, they said, "We have come to worship him." And the Lord Jesus is the one who is going to reign supreme and who is going to be worshipped. The fifth house is Joseph's own house. And that's where Joseph's brethren were restored to him. Strange, doesn't it seem, that Joseph should take his brethren, when he accused them of being spies, he took them into his own house. And that's where later they were restored to him, and he revealed himself to them. And I believe that this would speak to us of the future restoration of Israel, Joseph's brethren being restored to him. We read in the Old Testament, "They shall look on me whom they have pierced." They're going to say to him, "What are these wounds in thy hands?" It was in Joseph's own house that his brethren realised who he was and what he had done. The Lord Jesus is going to yet be recognised by Israel. The language of Isaiah 53 is going to be their language in that day. They shall look on him and they shall say and they shall talk about him whom they pierced. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Now coming to just what we have read here. And Simeon. We have recently gone through these chapters in our Bible studies in Ballina. And the question arose, why did Joseph take Simeon and bind him? Why Simeon? Now, different commentators would suggest, well, Simeon was probably the worst and the most cruel of the brethren in their hatred against Joseph. I beg to differ from that view. In these chapters here, it can be seen that the eldest in the family stood in the place of privilege but also responsibility. When you come over, I think it's believe it's the next chapter, where Joseph made his brethren a meal in his own house, and we remember how he seated them. He seated them, the eldest, according to the youngest. Even though Benjamin was his favourite brother because he was a full brother, he was the only one of the brethren who was a full brother to Joseph, yet Joseph didn't put him before Reuben, the eldest. He seated them, the eldest, according to the youngest. Now that was the place of privilege. Reuben's privilege was to be at the first, the head of the other brethren. But when you come over further again, you remember when the cup was placed in Benjamin's sack and Joseph sent his steward to bring the brethren back to find out where the cup was. They began at the eldest. The eldest stood in the place of responsibility. And so they went from the eldest to the youngest. So why did Joseph take Simeon? Well, we've read of the conversation here in Joseph's presence by the brethren. They didn't realise that Joseph could understand what they were talking about. And Joseph heard here how Reuben declared his innocence. Reuben had a clean sheet in the matter of Joseph's captivity. But the next oldest was Simeon. And I would just make that suggestion that is the reason why Joseph took Simeon. He was the oldest one who was implicated in the guilt and the crime against Joseph. Now that's just a few thoughts, and I'm not going to go on, but I trust that these few remarks might be helpful, and that we might be encouraged to look more into these things. We trust that God will just bless this simple meditation and it might be for his glory.